time to check in with Critter of the Week star and Doc Threatened Species Ambassador Nicola Tookie. Hello there.
Hello. I don't know. I'm not the star. The things we talk about are the stars generally, but yeah, I'll take it.
How's your little star? Is he about to take a couple of weeks off school?
He is. He is. And so, of course, as the primary school teacher husband, I think he's more excited about it than Hunter is, to be quite honest. It's a great question, which leads into a great segue, because me and Mr. Very Nearly Six, Hunter, he was very keen for me this weekend, and he followed me around the house for a day and a half with his garden bird survey form.
Oh, yeah.
So Manaaki Whenua Lanky Research every year ask New Zealanders over the course of a week to spend 1 hour in their gardens counting what birds are there and identifying what birds are there in the gardens. And then they use that data, it's like a giant citizen science project, to sort of estimate trends of the kinds of species we're starting to see, or, you know, which ones are getting more and more prevalent and which ones are becoming fewer. Hunter had kept following me around the house, kind of go, come on, mum, we need to do the garden bird survey. And
gee, he's
it's
a chip
little
off
bit
the
like,
old block, isn't he?
Well, I don't know whether he was that into it, or he just kind of, A, wanted to spend some time with me because I'd been away for a week, and B, just wanted to do the right thing by the teacher, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when I lived in Dunedin, I had friends who worked in the Cadbury factory, and they just really couldn't eat chocolate. So there's a little tiny part of me that goes, oh, God, counting birds, really?
Yeah.
But we made it a fun event. So we created a mai-mai or a hide, which, because I wasn't feeling particularly on top of my engineering skills, I just threw an old wool blanket over the clothes rack.
Yep.
And then we dressed up in all our camo gear. So I had my like old Doc Swanee, and we both had camo hats on, and we sat in the backyard.
Oh, you're the best mum. Even though you didn't really feel like doing it, you pretended that you did.
I did. And actually, so he stuck in there for a really long time. He was there for about 45 minutes. I stayed till the bitter end, the hour. And I realised, from a mental health perspective and a well-being perspective, when else in my life do I spend an hour sitting in the backyard looking at birds?
Mm.
So it was probably like a lovely little piece of free meditation as well. So that was what I did.
It's
so
called,
you've got until the 7th.
It's called My Mindfulness.
Mindful, I like it. Mm. Southlanders unite. So I think you've got until the 7th of July to spend an hour in your backyard.
Did you spot much, Nick?
I was quite excited. So we saw a hawk, a tiny bit cheated. Sorry, Manaaki Whenua, but just as we were sort of building our mai-mai and ready to sit down, I saw a hawk fly over, so I counted that. And we saw mostly fantails, heard a bellbird, and saw lots and lots of sparrows. So that was kind of – oh, no. And I saw a welcome swallow fly past. So I was pretty excited about that.
If people Google garden bird survey, they'll find it. But I've also got a link to it on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jesse.
Perfect. You should do it with all of your
many I think
children.
You're right. We're in Grey Lynn, where there are fewer trees than ever, and you know, we're right near an industrial city. So honestly, we see a couple of sparrows and sometimes like an exotic cockatiel or something, but it's pretty depressing.
Oh, Hazel be into it though.
Yeah, you should be into
it.
You
should do it.
Okay, we'll take that challenge. What else have you been up to? Yeah.
Well, so it's been all about my local Horonui community this week. So I was lucky enough to go along to the, I think they're just called the Horonui Community Awards, which was just about acknowledging and rewarding volunteers for all their amazing efforts. And within that, there were some grants for biodiversity grants for projects. And our local Waipara Environmental Tracking Association, acronym WETA, we got a grant to put traps down on the Waipara riverbed so that we can help protect the Braided Riverbirds. And also started trapping a trap library. So we're pretty excited about that. I would say I felt a little bit silly going up to accept it. So luckily, our number one trapper, Patrick, came up with me, because The last time I went up there, I've only been up there a handful of times, and it's so rough up there, our little trapping reserve, that we actually got lost. I got lost in the long grass, which was taller than me, and found about two traps and came back home again before I had to call search and rescue. So I did stand up to, when we accepted it, and said, look, let's be clear, I do the talking and he does the walking.
Mind you, it sounds like there's some cool stuff going on down there, controlling wild conifers and restoring native bush, and it sounds like you got some pretty handy neighbours.
Yeah, and actually that was a really neat thing about the day, was that about five other grants were given out for biodiversity work all around the neighbourhood, and everyone's into it at the moment, so that's pretty exciting. Makes me quite proud.
Yeah, and that's the thing about New Zealand Day. People don't do it because they're hoping to win an award, but it's quite a nice little bonus to get some recognition for the hundreds of volunteer hours that people put in. Hey, I just need to get to this week's critter, because you've chosen a cracker, the Mountain Stone Wetter.
Absolutely. The mountain stone wetter is pretty amazing, and it really reflects the sentiment that to survive here, you have to be prepared to die here. because the mountain stone wetter, the name gives it away just a tiny bit. It's actually a species of tree wetter, and it generally lives about 1,000 metres above sea level and up to 1,500 metres above sea level within the Southern Alps and the New Zealand, the South Island alpine environment. My favourite thing about this particular species of wetter is that it's a superhero, because despite the fact that humans have spent decades trying to work out how to be cryogenically preserved and frozen in time and then woken up later, the mountain stone wetter does this pretty much on the regular. It is the largest invertebrate in the world that can actually freeze most of itself. So 80% of its body can freeze solid and then thaw out again and carry on with its life.
Yeah, now how does it do this?
So it essentially goes into a state of suspended animation. And so over winter, so, you know, this is pretty current or relevant for us today. It is absolutely freezing down here. When it gets really cold, the hemolymph, which is the blood, if you like, the liquid inside the invertebrate, it contains a particular kind of amino acid, which allows the blood to freeze without bursting the membranes and therefore, you know, crystallizing everything and imploding the wetter.
Yeah, so, it's the one I've done interviews on cryogenics before, and it's one of the key problems of freezing a human being is not the freezing part, but the fact that you would turn to ice crystals and your organs would be pretty much splintered and ripped apart. There's a bit of a downside.
Yeah, that's just a tiny bit of a downside. And so, so essentially the highly evolved proteins within that hemolymph, within its blood, allow the liquid to freeze without damaging the cells inside. And so because of that, the mountain stone wetter can withstand temperatures of up to negative 10 degrees. And they can do that, I think, for a couple of weeks. So pretty amazing, really, yeah, in terms of, you know, a superhero power.
I mean what, but for comparison, like what other animals in the world can do that?
So there are a bunch of other species around the world that do kind of freeze. There's a type of frog, a wood frog, that has an antifreeze like blood that lets it freeze and thaw. This one really fascinates me. So alligators don't freeze. Their blood doesn't freeze, but they do brumate. And so we have a range of hibernation states. Some species go into torpor, some species brumate. Essentially, that just means they're almost in hibernation where all they need to do is breathe. And so they're rising up and down to the surface of the water with their nose just above the surface so they can breathe through the ice as it forms. And when it's really, really, really cold, they actually get frozen into the surface of the pond and then swim free when the ice melts.
Yeah, you supplied me with an amazing photo of this, just a frozen lake with a toothy snout poking out of it.
Yeah, I think that comes from a ranger or a manager of a park in Carolina who turned up to open up the park and thought he was looking at sort of tree trunks, but realised they had teeth. And so they were just, yeah, alligator snouts poking out of the ice, waiting for it to melt.
Back to the critter in question, the mountain stone wetter, and you've supplied some incredible photos of this little thing. Thank you, Warren Chin at Doc.
Yeah, these are one of Warren's many tiny critter favourites. So yeah, they are amazing looking animals. They, you know, they're obviously, they're a tree wetter. They look like a tree wetter, but they have two separate colour morphs. And so there's a yellow colour morph. So like almost like wasp-like stripes in terms of being kind of black and yellow striped. And they have one that's slightly brown kind of. And they have sort of quite clear sexual dimorphism, which we see in tree wetter as well. So you'll know that the females obviously have that big long spike, which is the egg-laying ovipositor device. And the males can get the big heads as well, like the big soldier-looking heads that the tree wetter get as well. But yeah, they are stunning photos. And it is fascinating. So if you think about it, they are tree wetter, and they're living in an environment entirely devoid of trees. And so they're going in winter, they climb down into the cracks of those schist kind of rocky outcrops, and they can be inactive for a period of about 5 months. So they tend to breed just before the real cold weather hits.
And clearly they're doing something right, because they are not currently threatened.
No, but I would say maybe part of what they're doing right is that, a bit like the tree wetter as well, they have a harem, and so the male has up to about 7 females that hang out with him, and he fights other males off to stay away from his sheilas. But they may not be threatened now, because they're one of a range of species that has adapted to that high alpine environment, and we run quite a large alpine research program here in the South Island. But as climate change starts to take a hold, what we're noticing is that over the last 60 years, the temperature of the alpine zone has increased by 1 degree. And so that means that it's where there was almost an imaginary border where rodents couldn't get through. Now rats are moving further up the alpine environment, because it becomes warmer and more accessible for them, so they can kind of get through that temperature force field. And these things were, you know, particularly when they're just lying around being frozen, make a perfect lunch for a rodent. And, you know, it's really got me thinking a lot lately about climate change and what we each can do individually to stop fiddling while Rome burns.
Yeah. Hey, a minute or so to talk about what the wetter does when attacked.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, obviously, you know, we try not to get attacked because they look so scary. But one thing that they often do, mountain stone wetter in particular, is they play dead. So they lie on their backs with their legs out, and they kind of have their claws and jaws ready for if someone came near them to scratch and attack them. And then if that doesn't work, they just spew up on whatever's attacking them. So I find that's quite a good defense mechanism.
It's an unusual tactic, but the surprise alone is quite an advantage. imagine if someone picked a fight with you at the pub, and that was your comeback. You'd probably do okay.
Couldn't possibly comment on anything like that. Okay. Starting to make me think of my scarfy days in Dunedin.
Yeah. After a hard night at the chocolate factory. All right. Hey, can you please rate the attractiveness of the mountain stone wetter on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yes. You can't do better than a wetter. No. So it gets at least an 8.5 from me. I love it.
Yeah,
so
I love
shiny
it too.
And crunchy looking.
Beautiful. Yeah. Cool. People can check out the website for a photo, or three beautiful photos actually, rnz.co.nz/Jessie. Have a great weekend.
You too. Stay warm.
Nicola Tookie, Doc's Threatened Species Ambassador. That's Critter of the Week.